Don't look down. Keep your eyes up. Whatever you do, don't look down. That's how a lot of people feel when they cross this glass bridge in China's Hunan province. I don't pretend to speak Mandarin, so I'm just going to show you the name of the city it's in. Be my guest if you want to try to pronounce that. But the bridge and the pronunciation, they stir similar feelings. Just cling to the side. Don't look down. So maybe even more frightening than this is the Hongyagu Scenic Area Bridge in another beautiful but hard to pronounce place in China. One word describes how I would feel about crossing that bridge. Bruh. So this bridge spans more than 1,600 feet. It stands a proud 715 feet high. It's built to move and sway with the breeze, just in case the height wasn't enough to loosen your lunch. But don't worry, when the 600 visitors at one time are allowed on the bridge, don't worry, because there's support staff stationed across the bridge to help with the mental and emotional struggle of just getting across. You know, they could have built a bridge that just connects across a valley. Instead, they built one that does that, and it ruins your vacation and embarrasses you. But there's really no reason to be afraid. It's simple physics. I can't even say it. It's simple physics. It's suspension, right? It's just a load-bearing deck attached to support lines anchored to vertical posts. It's really nothing to fear. I'm busy on the day we're going on the trip, but there's nothing for you to fear at all. So we have some suspension bridges closer to home. Has anybody crossed the Golden Gate Bridge? Anybody cross that one? How about the Brooklyn Bridge? Yeah. How about the O'Callaghan-Tillman Memorial Bridge with its views of Hoover Dam? Anybody cross that? Okay, kids, I need two volunteers, but you have to be okay holding hands. Fidel, Axel, come on. Let's give these two young men a hand. Come up over there. Good. So we're going to show where that microphone is. We're going to show how these bridges work through compression and tension. So first, we're going to show how a compression bridge works. So you see how these two kids are standing? You face each other. You're going to put your hands together. And you're just going to lean into each other. Perfect. Okay, good job. Good job. You're done. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Good job. So compression bridges, like the arch bridge is one of these, it pushes energy inward to support the structure and its load. That's compression. Kind of get two more kids to help us volunteer. They have to be okay. Yep, Deller girls. Your sisters, you have to hold hands. You can come up here. So now we're going to show tension. So you see these kids, how they're holding hands and then they lean back. Perfect. Good job. All right. Thank you. So a tension bridge, do I have an example for that? Yeah, suspension bridges, they use energy pulled in different directions to have energy that maintains the structure and the load that it carries. So when something is under tension, it is stretched, right? When a bridge is under tension, it stretches and can carry a heavier load. When we are stretched, we can either grow and mature or we can succumb to stress. We usually appreciate a comfortable life, right? We want to avoid tension, but sometimes God needs his people right in the middle of tension to be used to fulfill his plan. So we'll see that today in our Uncommon Character series. We're going to see that God used the story of Moses to work wonders through tension. Because you'll see, Moses often found himself in two or both of these places, in the tension between people or the tension between people and God. And things definitely got, well, tense. But God works wonders through people who are willing. And God worked wonders through the willingness of Moses to be used in tension. When Moses led people's God out of slavery into freedom, he led them out of slavery. He led them through the wilderness. He led them to the gate of the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And the story of Moses is much more about what God accomplished through Moses than what God did for Moses. So that inspired the goal of this series to focus not on what God can do for us, but what God can accomplish through us. And I imagine a lot of you are a better person than I am, and this is not my normal bent. I typically come to God and say, hey, here's all the things that I need, all the things that I want, and you know, if you got enough left over, get something real nice for yourself. You can even work through me to do it. Right? So I need to ask God, help me to be available for you to use. Help me to look beyond myself. So I wrote a prayer for us to say together to help us steer our hearts and our minds in that direction. So let's put it on the screen and pray together. God, you are holy and in control. Thank you for giving me all that I need in Jesus. Help me not to ask what you can do for me today, but what you can accomplish through me. Help me to be willing and available for you to use. In Jesus' name, amen. So the idea is, if God has given us salvation through Jesus, we ultimately have everything we need. And the Bible says if he's done that, he'll provide everything you need in this life also. So as his followers, at some point, we can say, okay, God, I know you will give me what I need, so use me also to accomplish your goal. Also work through me. So that prayer is printed in your handout if you want to pray it during the week by yourself or as a family. But I do want to warn you, if you ask God to use you, he might do it. And it might even get tense. But God works wonders through the willing, even in our tension. Who wants to hear a story? Story time? Hey, what do you say? How about a story today? Okay, our story, let's go back in time. About 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus, Moses is born at a really interesting time when God's people, the Israelites, are slaves to the Egyptians. Pharaoh, he's the Egyptian king, he was afraid of the Israelites getting too strong. So he demanded that all the newborn Israelite baby boys be thrown into the river. Last week, we saw that God worked wonders through the trust of Moses' mom. Remember her name? It's timid. I hear it timidly. Jochebed. Yep, God worked wonders through her trust as she disobeyed Pharaoh, but she hid and protected her baby. Long story short, Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses became a grandson of the king, and he was raised and educated as royalty. Now we're going to pick up the story in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. The next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to the one who had started the fight. The man replied, "Well, who appointed you to be our prince and judge? You going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everyone knows what I did." And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. So Moses stepped into the tension between the Egyptian and the Hebrew. Then he stepped into the tension between the two Hebrews. He reacted in anger. He acted out. He was called out. So he fled. He left and he went to live in Midian to live the life of a shepherd. There, he got married. He started a family. Now Exodus 3 tells us One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." So now we see through the burning bush encounter, Moses had been engaged in the tension between people. Now he engages the tension between God and his people, as God is going to call Moses to free his people from slavery in Egyptian. God calls him to save his people, and this would involve a lot of tension with Pharaoh. It would involve some pretty gnarly plagues. Moses did it. He led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, which led him deeper into the tension between God and his people. Right, their gratefulness for deliverance eventually devolved into gluttony and debauchery. God persistently provided, and the people consistently complained. And so Moses took up residency in the tension between a grumbling people and a graceful God. And then the end of the story, Deuteronomy 34, says, "Then Moses went up to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, and the Lord showed him the whole land. And the Lord said to Moses, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have now allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter the land.' So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. And there has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land." So Moses spent a lot of his life in tension. And we see the results of that here. Part of it is that he knew God face to face. And some of the people in my life who I perceive them having a very close relationship with God, they do not live peaceful, comfortable lives. A lot of their lives have been filled with tension, which, if you allow it, will lead you to know God in a deep way. So this tension in Moses' life led him to know God face to face. And he led God's people out of oppression and slavery. He led them through the wilderness, and he led them again and again back to God. Even in the midst of tension, when they wanted simple solutions and a comfortable life, Moses led them back to God. So we see in the story of Moses, God works wonders through tension. And this isn't a unique theme in God's story. Right, just look in the Bible. It was tension and a whale that carried Jonah to Nineveh. Right, it was tension and a ram that proved Abraham's faithfulness to God. It was tension and a hip shot that brought about Jacob's blessing. It was tension and a lie that brought sin into the world and caused us to be separated from God. And it was tension and a Savior who came to end that separation when Jesus left the perfect peace of heaven to come into this tense world. And when he did that, Hebrews assures us that Christ was offered. Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. And he will come again. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all those who are eagerly waiting for him. Does that give you hope? He will come again. It gives us hope, but it also shows the tension we live in, right? Christ was offered. That happened. It has happened. And he will return. And the tension between those two is where we live. If there is tension, it is between the offering of Christ and his return, and that is where we are. Because he came as God, in the flesh to take our sin, to die in our place, to end our separation from God. And he will return to take us home to eternity in his presence where there is no tension. There's a beautiful word in this verse, offered. Christ was offered to take away our sin and end our separation from God. But what does that mean? There are a lot of implications to the word offered. So what does that word mean? I need help explaining it, so my dog Max is going to help me explain it. This is our dog Max. He was a Christmas gift to the kids from Grandma and Pop. He is an English golden doodle. That's AI. I would not bring him up here to run around while I play during the week. Or you could come someday and see. Maybe he does. I don't know. But Max is an English golden doodle. It means he has an accent. If you met him, he's all, hello. Annette. Which I think it makes him sound smart, right? An English accent is smarter. So I looked in the Oxford English Dictionary to see what the word offer means. And it tells us to present something for someone. I'll do it without the accent. It says to present something for someone to accept or reject. So Jesus was offered his forgiveness, his salvation. It is done. He paid the price. He has done it all. And now it is offered for you to accept or reject. It's offered, no strings attached. It is already paid for. It is offered for you to accept or reject. Because we live in the tension, right? Jesus was offered, he will return. We live in the tension between a world that says, yeah, you've got some value, but later that same day, value changes and your value is gone. Or you make one bad choice and your value is gone. Something from your past is brought up and your value is gone. That's one side of the tension. The other is a loving, graceful, powerful God who says, oh, I know your past. I know your future too. But I gave my son to give you unending value. So we live in the tension between those two choices. And the Bible says Christ was offered for us to accept or reject. It doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. It is offered to everyone today. So if you haven't accepted that, I would love to talk to you about it. If you have questions about it, if you want to talk about it, if you want to say, hey, my life is nothing but tension, so how could any of this be true? I would love to talk with you about that. So please, if you have questions today after service, please come talk to me. But I want to ask, if you have accepted that offer, do you live in it? Do you live in the peace of knowing that you are saved, that your future is secure, that you have a firm hope? Right, because hope, I had a friend remind me this week, hope in our understanding is, it's tough to wrap our head around. Hope can be this wispy concept that just blows around, right? But if we look at the end of the Bible, our hope is secure. Right, when all fails and all falls away, our hope in Christ stands eternal. And that's the hope we have. So do you live in that? Because I'm typically defined by my latest failure or more often, I'm sorry, success or more often failure. That's what defines me. What I want to be defined and I want to rest in my identity in Christ and who he is and what he has done. I want to rest in that, right? Do you want to trust his provision and his wisdom or let the worries about tomorrow fill today? Because it's an ongoing offer to accept or reject all of the truths he gives us. So to help us with that, the story of Moses gives us three really practical steps to live above the tension of this life. First, the story of Moses teaches us to look up. Moses teaches us to look up. We live in a time that our heads are so cast down. We have a name for the condition, tech neck. That's the ongoing stiffness or soreness from poor posture using a phone or a computer. Right? We're trained to look down, which means we miss what's happening around us. So we see this in the story of Moses. At first look, the story of the burning bush is nothing out of the ordinary. Moses was leading his sheep through a hot, dry desert where bushes caught on fire. It happened. So it is not unlikely that Moses was leading his sheep. He had a loop that he walked them around. It says he went further this time. He walked around. He's like, yeah, here's the big rock. We turn left around here. There's the bush on fire. He goes around. Yep, there's the big rock. We turn left. There's the bush. It's on fire. They keep going. Yep, there's the big rock. We turn left, and there's the bush. There's the bush. It's still on fire. Still there. Still on fire. This is amazing. Why isn't that bush burning up? I gotta go see this. He lifted up his head. It was the same old, same old. Same day. New day, different problems. Head down. Until he looked up. What happened with that bush? He spoke to God. Look up. I'm just gonna let that sit for a second, because if you... I'm not going to say invest. I'm going to say if you waste a significant portion of your life like this, look up. I preach to myself a lot more than I'm preaching to you, so I'm just going to put that out there. Look up. Next, Moses teaches us to look around. Look around. See what God is doing in your life right now. If you look at the story of Moses, you see this, right? When he was adopted and became the king's grandson, God used that time to equip him to lead his people out of Egypt. He showed him, Moses, here's how Egypt works, so I'm going to call you to lead us out of here, okay? I'm going to equip you now. Then when Moses was leading those sheep through the wilderness, when he was being their shepherd, God used that time to prepare him to lead his people through 40 years of wilderness wandering. God said, Moses, I'm going to teach you how to lead. I'm going to teach you how to lead stinky sheep, because one day you're going to do it for my people. I'm going to equip you here. I'm going to prepare you here. So look around. How is God equipping and preparing you right now? Look around. Finally, the story of Moses shows us how important it is to look ahead. Look ahead at the legacy you're creating. Evaluate the heritage you're going to leave behind. And I don't just mean a physical or a financial inheritance, that's wonderful, that's great, but I mean what eternal legacy will your relationship with God leave here when you're gone? Because the stuff, the money, that'll all be gone one day. But your relationship with God, the eternal remnants you leave here, that's your true legacy. So what are you leaving behind? And I want to encourage you, that's hard. Thinking about, man, when I'm gone, what is going to be left behind? That is hard. But I want to tell you, if you think about your legacy and you don't like it, it is not too late to change. If you have regret, our God is the God of redemption. If you have caused pain, our God is the God of healing. And you may go, well, you don't know my family. You don't know what I've done. I might know worse, and I might have seen God do greater. Because He is the God of redemption and healing, and believe it or not, still today, the God of miracles. So allow Him into your attention, and then be in awe of what He can do. So we live in the tension between the offering of Christ and His return. So while we wait for that return, learn from the story of Moses and look up. Look around. Look ahead. Don't miss the wonders that God works in the tension. So in this sermon series, I really want to allow the Spirit some space and some time just to speak to us, because the word tension can be very vague. And so I just want to allow you to just have a couple of minutes with the kids here. I love that it's not going to be silent, so it doesn't have to be weird. Don't worry. We're just going to be still. You can close your eyes if you want. I just want to give the Spirit some room just to speak to us if there is like a specific place that we have been pushing him out. Or maybe you're like me and you're like, well, I am going to deal with this. I am going to fix this. I will make it right. And then I'll come back to God. Right? I am going to fight through this. And then I'll let God back in. But he might be saying, I got it. You're good. It's under my control. So whatever it is, I just want to give us a couple of minutes and just, Spirit, would you just have your way? Would you speak to us now? I'm sure there's some people who feel like, oh, this is weird. I don't know about this, just being quiet here. And I am grateful. Maybe they have an opportunity now to experience just you moving and affecting their thoughts and feelings. So God, we just invite you now to have your way. Speak to us. God, maybe this moment is just a picture of tension that we don't often just sit and be still before you. But your word tells us that when we do that, that when we are still, we know you are God. So just thank you that you are willing to step into our tension. You are willing to come into our mess as you did in Jesus, to offer us true forgiveness and love and salvation and true hope. A hope that is grounded in you and what you have done and who you are. And we can trust you. So God, if we brought weight in, if we brought tension in, help us to lay it down before you, and as much as we can with your power, just to leave it here, or just to be reminded throughout the day, just, we can put it down. We don't have to keep picking it up. So God, we thank you for your goodness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.